Well, hello, ladies. My name is Pastor Jessica Roth. If you do not know who I am, if you're here for the very first time, I'd like to just see who you are. Can you just kind of wave at me a little? There you go. Well, welcome. I'm excited you guys are here. You may look at me and go, what does she know? Well, I have been in ministry, I want to say, like 30 years. So, and I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. But most of all, I am in love with my Creator, my King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And I believe that He has a word for us today. And, you know, I went home in January to be with the kids. I no longer am on payroll staff here at the church. I went home to be with the kids. I have now a newborn. He's 4 months old at this time. And I know, he's so dreamy. And so, you know, he's charming. Micah is dreamy and Chloe is perfect. So I live in a charmy, dreamy, perfect world. And then Dan, you may know Pastor Dan. He's my husband. He is just a dream. I just adore him. He's amazing. We did get in a fight yesterday, but that was the only one for the year. Like, just because he is that awesome. So, and it was my fault, of course. So anyways, God is good. And you may be thinking, well, Guy, you know, look at her. Her life is perfect. It was not always perfect. But I'm going to teach you today how to live a life like I get to live. Because I get to live in a world where I don't stumble, even though there are unstable things in this world. And I get to live in a world because I'm God's girl, that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't look at Pastor Jess and say, oh, well, let me pour out all the blessing on her and not them. No, God is not a respecter of persons. And just because he's asked me to come up here and preach this, it does not mean that I'm any better or greater than you are. It means that God has anointed me to give you a word. And I felt like when I was driving here today, okay, getting ready with three little kids is like a joke, okay? So, and then we got like this urgent phone call this morning. Being pastors, we get like urgent phone calls all the time. So I get this urgent phone call. There's an emergency happening with one of our members in the church, and I'm making all these other phone calls trying to fix this, and then I'm nursing and I'm trying to curl my hair, and I'm like, God, just get me a cup of coffee. Like, and as I'm getting ready, I am still meditating on what God put inside of me. And as I was driving here, I knew that I'd be kind of late for worship, so I turned on the worship CD, and I felt like I was driving, and I was like, Mission Impossible, and I was like, I've got a word, I've got something I've got to give them, so Lord, you just keep me safe all the way there, because there's a package that has to be delivered. And you know what, don't look at the outside, because God has a word for you today. So as his girls, what if I did tell you that you could live a stable life? How many of you are in an unstable life right now? There are just things that are rocky, things that you don't have an answer to, things that maybe you just don't understand. And there is a life out there that God has called us to, and it's a stable life in these unstable times. So we can live a stable life in these unstable times. God has given us tools that will help us not lapse back into our old ways of sin, into our old ways of us, into, you know, you're your own worst enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? You can talk yourself into anything. You can talk yourself out of anything. You can justify your reasoning to yourself more than anyone else can justify anything to you. You are your own worst enemy. And God says, listen, you got to get out of the way because I got some things I need to share with you. And if you do things the way I've asked you to do them, then you're going to live a stable life in this unstable time. Because girls, whether you think so or not, God's coming back. There are signs of the end times, and the Bible does talk about that we will see signs, and there are signs, and don't tell me that the recession is over. I just saw a report that in July, that was the highest month of losing homes for people in foreclosures. It was the highest month ever since the recession, and they said August is going to be worse. I've been dealing with some mortgage companies, and let me tell you, they are trying to legally kick people out of their homes. Don't tell me that there's not going to be a crash if there hasn't already been. But where are you going to be when things happen? What are you going to do when things happen? Where's your focus going to be? Are you going to be stable in the things of God? Are you going to be wishy-washy, freak out, and panic? Like the rest of the world will, let me tell you. They will. And God says, listen, I have given you tools to be stable in these unstable times. So girls, turn with me. Do you have your word? Never come to church without your word. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is what cuts and divides the truth from the untruth. This is what will give you your source of freedom. This is what gives you answers. This is power. There is power in the word of God. Do not show up without your Bible. If you forgot it this week, shame on you. Bring it next week. Second Peter 1, 5 through 11. You may go, what happened to the nice girl? Okay, I'm preaching now, so watch out. This ain't me anymore. This is God. Let's go. Let's get in his word. All right, you guys ready? Hold on, get your seatbelts on, because the word's powerful. Might take us somewhere today. But also, for this reason, giving all diligence. Stop there. Diligence. Does anybody understand what the word diligence actually means? Pushing through. Working hard at. Not giving up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to push. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to keep going. Oh, but this... And it tries to get you off track. Someone's words, maybe people and maybe situations. Maybe you got a letter in the mail from the mortgage company. Oh, wait a second. I've gotten lots of those. But listen, all diligence. Don't give up. Don't say no. God is saying, with all diligence, add to your faith. These are things he needs us to add to our life to live in a stable world. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will never neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he has cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to get into heaven. And I want that to be a spot that God has reserved for me, that God knew that he gave me tools and I use them. I don't want to get to heaven one day and God say, well, you know, you didn't have to live like that on the earth. You know, you kind of lived this mediocre small life in a little box and you went nowhere with it. I want to push the limits. I want to use the tools God has given me. If I fail, oh well, I'll get back up. I got God behind me. He's going to push me forward. I'm going to try new things. I'm going to keep going for the goal. And listen, girls, San Bernardino can tend to get in us. But I think we need to get in San Bernardino. And we need to change the way that this community looks. We need to change the mindset. Maybe you've been raised in a poverty mentality, a victim mentality. There's been horrible, tragic things that have happened to you in your world, but God says no more. If you're a daughter of God, and if you have come to this house today, I'm giving you tools. And so girls, you can't say you didn't know because you're hearing it now. So we're going to get in and we're going to find out what God wants us to do. What do we add to my life so that I do not have to stumble? Write that down. What do I add to my life so I don't have to stumble? I love the word of God. It's so easy and simple. He just writes it out for us. So we're going to go to number one. We add virtue to our life. It's funny. When I thought of the word virtue, I thought, okay, virtue. You know, you think of like the virtuous woman. You know, like this dreamy woman with flowy long hair and like in a beautiful dress, like a goddess. Like she's just gorgeous, right? What does virtue really mean? Virtue means excellency in goodness. Moral excellency. How many of you can say that you've been morally excellent? Nobody. Not one of us can raise our hands. But you know what? The King of Kings says, I wouldn't tell you to do something if you can't get there. He doesn't give us something and tell us to be like something if he doesn't tell us how to do it. Right? So virtue, he's asking us to add virtue to our lives. Moral excellency and goodness. In 2 Peter 1, 3 in the Amplified, you might want to just watch it on the screens. It says, his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and excellence, virtue. He has called us to excellence. He has called us to be this virtuous woman. You may sit in these seats right now and go, I am so not a virtuous woman. I so am not. But you know what? Guess what? You've been called to be. So just maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe you don't think you look like it on the outside. Maybe there's something inside of you going, no, you're so not. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because God has said that you are a virtuous woman. So we need to embrace that. You say, well, how do I start becoming a virtuous woman? Finish what you start. You know, the Word of God says, let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. How many times have you told someone you'd do something for them and you never came through? How many times have you said, okay, I'm going to do this today, and you never did it? You see, excellency is almost like a practice. You have to get yourself there. It doesn't just happen. You're not just born excellent. Sin nature is in us. We have to work at being excellent at the things we do. For instance, I'm not like the best house cleaner in the world, okay? I like my house. I am a little bit of a germ freak, just so you know. So I'm not like Howie Mandel where he has to, you know, dab and nobody touches him. But I am kind of a germ freak. The funny thing about it is like I cannot keep up with my house now that I have three kids and, you know, being here all the time. It just doesn't happen. Does not happen. So what do? I told the Lord, I said, you gave me this house, God. And I need to keep my home because you gave this to me and it's a gift. And I don't want to let it be run down. And so God began to show me how to do it. And he began to tell me, well, give yourself a couple things per day and get that list done. And I do. And you know, when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, first thing, coffee. Second thing, nursing. Third thing, get the kids ready. And then I'm like, okay, then I'm going to do the dishes and I'm going to switch a load of laundry out. When I get to that point and I know that I've finished it and completed it, then I move on to something else. But I don't give myself these extreme things that I can never meet and I never can touch. And then all of a sudden I don't feel like a virtuous woman. There's no excellency in my home. I'm frustrated. I'm frazzled. And you know, when mama ain't happy, no one's happy, right? So that virtuous woman has flown out the door and there's no excellence in my life. And if someone was watching me, they'd be like, ha, ha, ha. You know, because there's no excellency in being frazzled and frustrated. And not being able, so be careful not to put limitations on yourself you really can't meet. Do you see what I'm saying? But God says, but it doesn't mean you're not a virtuous woman. You are a virtuous woman. So start or finish what you start. Do the job the best and full-heartedly. How many times have you just given a half-butt job to your boss? Excuse my language. A half-butt job. Oh, yeah, well, you know, it's good enough. I've heard that actually recently. And I almost wanted to like run in there and rip their head off. You know, like, what? I'm a volunteer and I work harder than you. You know, I mean, seriously, don't go there. You better be working hard on your job. You better be the best worker on your job. You are representing Christ. They know that you're saved. They know that you are his king's kid, especially if you're talking. And then when you're not working like you should be, if your mouth and your actions are not following up who you say you serve, you think that they're going to think you're a woman of virtue and that he's an excellent God? They're not. See, God is asking Christians to live this life because we represent him. Do it full-heartedly. Work like you've never worked before. Don't intend to do something and never follow through. Good intentions is not what God is looking for. Put the Word of God into your everyday life and watch it become an excellent part of your life. You see, you may say, okay, I'm overwhelmed. I really am overwhelmed. These situations, the things that these people in my world are bringing into my world, my relative this and my sister that and my brother this and my mom and dad that. You know what? You can easily look at that. But listen, God has not given you more than you can handle. So maybe you need to sit down and you need to write it out and say, God, you've called me to be a virtuous woman. I need to do life excellent. So help me to organize my life so I can get into the mode of an excellent moral life where people look at me and they say, now that's someone I want to be like. Choose to write a beautiful story of excellence through your life that others will be watching. So listen, God is asking us to add virtue to our lives because others are watching it. An excellent spirit is a good thing. It's given to us by God. Now we need to tap into it and we need to put it into our lives, and we need to get that moving. No matter what age we're at, there are things in our life that could be better. There are things in our world that could be done with excellence at a greater and higher level. And so maybe today you need to go home and pray and say, okay, Lord, what is it then that is not exactly excellent in my world that could be better? What is it, God? Because I want to be this virtuous woman you've asked me to be. God says, number two, add knowledge to your life. Now listen, this is not knowledge like go to college. Okay, yes, add the things of this, the world, but the world is going to put things in you. God is talking about knowledge of him. The knowledge of this world or sinful things do not add that, but the knowledge of God is what we need to add. Because when we add God's knowledge to our life, we're able to function in this unstable world. Because this world, look what they're feeding us. What kind of knowledge are they feeding you? Did you know people are leaving Iraq? Did you know that they're sending troops out of Iraq? They're closing things down in Iraq? But what is on the news? Lindsay Lohan. It's a joke. This world is feeding us what they want us to know. They're feeding us what they want you to know. And listen, you better get the word of God in you, because when the crap hits the fan, and it's going to, because God's coming back, you better know what the word of God says. You better know who your king is. You better know when they have a gun to your head or your children's head, who your God is, and that he's going to come through you, through for you, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like Daniel in the lion's den. And listen, girls, this is not a joke. They like to keep us in this little bubble of saying, oh, yeah, you know, the world's, we're okay, there's no recession. Oh, come on. Don't be stupid. Get the knowledge of God in you so that you're not dumb. We are not dumb women. We have the minds of Christ. Get it in you so it comes out of you. Look at Job. Here's a man. Everything was taken from him. Everything. His wife says, curse God and die. His friends, Job, you're stupid. What are you doing? Look what God did to you. Everyone was coming against him. Everyone was saying, God did this to him. And there was a young man, and I may mess his name up because I'm not good at the Old Testament names. Elihu or Elihu. And he began to speak through a couple of chapters at the end of Job. He went through different scenarios. And in chapter, I think it's 33. Yeah, 33 to 36. In Job 36, he finally is getting to the end of what he's saying to Job. And he says this, in such wisdom. He might have been a young man, and he was afraid to speak because he was young. He thought all the elders in the room should know more. But then when they didn't give any goodness to Job, he said, all right, I guess I got to say something because God's given me a word. And this is what he said. If they obey and serve him, talking about God, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. Listen, what kept Job from cursing God and dying was his knowledge of who and how great God was. His faith and many other things, honestly, kept Job. But that was one of the things that kept him. Because he knew that he knew who God was. He knew who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was. And that kept him. When trial comes in these unstable times, will you know who your God is? Or will you run with your tail between your legs like the world? Because we have not been called to be little wussies. We're warriors, girls. In 2 Peter 1, 2, it says, God's grace and peace be multiplied in you, in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Look at Solomon. Solomon did fail at the end of his life in his old years. In his young years, this is what he asked of God. He's King David's son, and he had now got to rule. And this is what he requests of God. God says, what is your request? If you turn with me to 2 Chronicles, this is where we get your word out. Get your word out. Come on. I want you to actually turn there. Because when life hits, guess what? You need to learn how to flip through your pages and find these verses. Enough of this. We're going to just look at the screens. In verse 12, 2 Chronicles 1:12, it says, Actually, let's go to 11. It says, then God said to Solomon, because this was... Oh, wait. Actually, I'm going to go up to 7. I like 7. On that night, God appeared to Solomon, and he said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David and my father be established, for you have made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go and come in before these people, for who can judge the great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was your heart, the key is the heart, guys, because this is your heart, you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or in this life or life or of the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life. But you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before, nor shall any of you have like that. Listen, this man could have asked for anything from God, but he asked for knowledge and he asked for wisdom. Now, careful, warning here. He did well with it, right? And then at the end of his life, he did not well with it. Just because you're in your older days, be wise. Just because you were blessed in the beginning and you know God's goodness and you've been there and you maybe you know a lot, be careful not to fail at the end of your life. That's a warning to you. And young people, be careful not to be stupid and greed and prideful and ask for those things which come and go like riches. Money comes and goes, guys. It comes and it goes. You lose it, you gain it. Ask from God for knowledge. Ask from God wisdom. Ask those things that God wants to put inside of you so you become this person and this virtuous woman like we talked about in point one. With the knowledge of God, that way when things come and the world is going to come at us, we can stand our ground. We will not waver. We will not stumble. We will look to our King. We will keep our face on Him and we will know. We will know, we will know, we will know who our God is. And when you know when God is speaking to you, and when you know who your God is, it doesn't matter what the world says. Because the world is saying what is bad is good. And what is good is bad. And they are so wrong. My 5-year-old, I'm already having to teach her about what the Word of God says about homosexuality, and she's 5 years old. Because kindergarten is trying to teach them already what the Word of God says, not here, not at Kids Rock, but what the Word of God says about it. It's sin just like anything else. You sleeping with your man at home and you're not married, you're in sin. You're in homosexuality, you're in sin. And listen, I'm not going to be that preacher that shuts up about what God talks about. So you may not like it. All of us know people that are in these lifestyles. And listen, it is not about how amazing they are. They may be the greatest people in the world, but they are deceived. And they are on their way to hell. And unless they get right with God, and unless they get in tune with, in line with what the Word of God says, because the world is telling them that this is good and it's acceptable. And it's okay. Pastor Michelle, is it not true that at camp, you had to change the cabins because it is such an issue with homosexuality? That has never happened to us before, you guys. This next generation is getting inundated. This is the new sin. It's been around, but this is just the new one the devil's using. You know, when you were young, what did he use? Sleeping around and pregnancy and abortion and all. Yeah, I mean, he always thinks he's coming up with something new. He's not. But the thing about it is that that's where you, mamas, better get into your prayer closet and start praying for your kids. Your family members. And if you're in this sin, you need to get out of this sin. Because no matter how much you think you're close to God, sin sends us to hell. And the Word of God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he talks about that. And I don't know why I'm going off on this, but seriously, Let's get it right. What does the Word of God say about these issues? What does the Word of God say about this? This is not about what the world says. I could care less what Channel 7 says about anything. All I care about is what God tells me. And in these end times, girls, we may be this little group of people that just look crazy to the world because we know that we know that we know who our God is. And we know that we know that we know what He asks of us. But if I am by myself, screaming God's name and shouting for His glory in these end times, I will be blessed. I will be prosperous. I will be stable in these unstable times. And I don't know about you, but I want you there with me. Okay? So let's get into it and let's do that together. So God has asked to add virtue to our lives, to add knowledge to our life. Number three, to add self-control to our lives. You're going, oh, great. I should not have eaten that donut this morning. Romans 7 through 8, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, for indeed it can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't know about you. The only thing I want to please is God. I don't care about pleasing men. You'll never please men. If you're a people pleaser in here, let me free you. You will never please them. They will never be happy. Somebody will always be mad at you. You can never do right. But listen, with God, you can do all right. And all glory and all power is yours. You are a virtuous woman. Now love people to life, but don't allow them to rule your roost. Don't allow them to rule who you are. Love them to life, but do not allow them to rule you. But listen, your own worst enemy is you. Like I started out this morning, you are your own worst enemy. Self-control. Galatians 5:22 through 24 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Aristotle says, I count him braver who conquers his desires than him who conquers his enemies. For the hardest victory is a victory over oneself. Listen, it's funny. We can start this young. We can start this old. My daughter, Chloe, I just have to tell a story about her. She's a nut. And Chloe's in the back of the car one day, and we're driving to church. And she's like, Mom, I just feel like I need more sugar. And she had already had ice cream and candy. And I'm like, well, sweetheart, you ain't getting no more sugar. And you better just tell your flesh to shut up. And she goes, what do you mean? Tell my flesh to shut up. And I began to teach her how to control her flesh. And I said, listen, our bodies are always going to want something that's not good for us because they're in the sin nature. They want sin. And you have to tell your body, shut up. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going there. And yes, I tell my 5-year-old to say shut up. So we use crap and shut up. Okay, we could be the worst pastors in the world. But, you know, I am the daughter of the cussing pastor. So so my daughter says, I hear her in the back seat on the way home. Because children's ministry hands out candy, which they're my best friends because they do that. So she has her little candy. And I'm looking at her like, what are you going to do? Because I told you no. And she hands me the candy, and she goes, shut up, flesh. I am not going to eat any more candy. I am done, and you are not going to rule me. And then I'm laughing because I'm like, you are so funny. And here's Micah. I want it. I'll take hers, you know. And Chloe says, Mom, I'm going to go home and eat some carrots. I'm like, all right. But listen, if she can do it, you can do it. She's 5 years old. Come on. And girls, we have to start with the little things, with our flesh. Just like I said with the virtuous and working into a life of excellence, it doesn't start right away, I'm going to change everything. You're going to fail because you just can't do that. We're human. A little at a time. A little at a time. Maybe that donut you shouldn't have eaten this morning, don't eat it tomorrow. Seriously, pour less creamer in your coffee. Learn how to do it. I'm starting with weight because obviously I have been working on it. Thank you. And I am proud of this because I have lost 43 pounds in 4 months. And listen, I'm back into my old clothes, so I don't have to buy new ones in Jesus' name. Thank you. So, but listen, this does not happen because, oh, Pastor Jess is one of those girls that comes back. You know, our body just bounces right back. No. I have been on that elliptical at 11 o'clock at night. I have been doing my sit-ups every morning. In between feedings, I am like doing my leg lunges while I'm brushing my teeth. And I'm watching what I'm putting in my body. That's some self-discipline. Now stop. I'm not bragging on me. I'm using me as an example. Now the spiritual side of it. That's the physical. What am I doing spiritually? My world is crazy. I don't get to go in my prayer closet for an hour, shut the door and say, oh God, let me weep before you. No, I'm crying all day long, okay? And I'm just like, Lord, let me talk to you sometime during my day. But this is what I do. Before I go to bed, I make sure that I'm in the Word. I do not put my head on that pillow unless I have read at least 6 or 7 verses and I try to read a chapter a night. These are things that I have put discipline into my life. When I wake up in the morning, I try to get the word in. If not, I'm speaking in tongues from the time I get up until the time I brush my teeth. Because I need my spirit man to begin to stir because I know I'm going to need him that day. And listen, yesterday I so did not speak in tongues because I was so tired. And that's why me and my husband got in a fight. Okay, so when you don't do your part, you will see. And so listen, there are disciplines. How many times did you say, oh, I'm just going to stay at home. I just went to church. I don't need to go to church tonight. No, that's when you need to be at church the most. That's when you need to be at church every time the doors are open if you have to deny your flesh because the world is always going to be screaming at you. Listen, girls, there's a physical discipline and there's a spiritual discipline, and they all come together for the glory of God because these are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And self-control, the self will control you. Just like Eleanor talked about your destiny, how many times has our destiny been ruined or off course because our self is telling us to do something? I was talking to my husband, and I was in a very, very abusive relationship way before I met Dan. And, you know, it was physically abusive, it was mentally abusive, there was abuse in every way. And not with my parents, but with a boyfriend. And this relationship was horrible, and I was talking to my husband about it after Eleanor had preached, and I just started to think about where would I be? Where would I be right now if I did not turn and run from that sin? Where would I be? Where would you be if you did not stop in your tracks and say, wait a second here, I know who God is, I got to get out of here, I got to go run towards God. And listen, girls, there's a destiny, like she said, for us. And we have a choice to walk that destiny, but it takes self-control. You have to tell your flesh to shut up. You have to get in your word. You have to tell the devil to shut up. Because he's going to say, oh, you don't have time to read your word right now. You don't have time to pray and get in your prayer closet. Listen, you know what I call it? I call it throwing up a prayer all day long. Lord, in Jesus' name, help me not knock Micah out right now because he's bugging me. Dear Father God, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper when I get phone calls about people and members in this congregation that their children just died or something just happened. I'm in my word. I'm on my prayer closet, but I'm doing it walking, making breakfast, and nursing. And listen, girls, you can do it too. Driving to work. You're typing at a computer. You can pray in tongues while you're typing in the computer. Just don't do it out loud, freak everybody out, and then they don't want to know who God is. Do it within you, like Pastor Dan talked about on Sunday night. Listen, get in your prayer closet. I had a friend, she's a single mom, and she began to start putting some spiritual disciplines in her life, and hell was coming against her. She was getting a divorce. She never thought she'd be in this divorce, and she would cry, and she said, I never thought that the man of my dreams would do this to me. But she had to go to work, and she had a kid, and she didn't get to stay home any longer. And she said this, every time I go to work, I leave a half an hour early, and I sit in the parking lot at work so I'm not late, and I read my word. She got the word into her because she had to deny her flesh. You think she didn't want to sleep a half an hour late or spend that extra half an hour with her daughter? God restored everything back to her because she gave God time, and I know that's why. And listen, die to yourself. Start with the little things, and then you can move on to the bigger things once the little ones have been conquered, okay? So don't get overwhelmed, but begin to discipline your flesh and say, no, you're coming under. The Word of God says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I am denying you because I want to be pleasing to my King. Okay? So, number one, God has told us to add virtue. Number two, he has told us, to add knowledge, to add self-control. And number four, to add perseverance to our life with patience. Perseverance means steadfastness, persistence. I love this story. Last year, daughters, we had really focused on William Wilberforce and John Wesley. They got rid of slavery in the olden times, and God, you know, he wrote that song. John Wesley did, I think, right, Pastor Deborah? John Wesley? John Newton wrote the song, you know, Amazing Grace. And this whole story, they're all linked to each other. And young William Wilberforce was discouraged one night in early 1970s after another defeat in his 10-year battle against the slave trade in England. Tired and frustrated, he opened his Bible and began to leaf through it. How many times has that been you? Just done with the day, done with the drama. I'm going to get in and I'm going to get into my word because there is no other answer for me but that. And that's where this man was at. And as he fluttered through his Bible and he leafed through it, a small piece of paper fell out and fluttered onto the floor. It was a letter written by John Wesley shortly before his death. Wilberforce read it again. And this is what it said. Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through glorious enterprise in opposing that the practice of slavery, which is a scandal of religion of England and the human nature. Unless God has raised us up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go in the name of God and in the power of his might. And listen, there is something about the word that says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Who? In these unstable times, who can be against us? Don't tell me the enemy's not going to try. He will. But you persevere. You be steady. You be persistent in your call. You be patient on God and know that he is coming. And you have your faith reined into what God says and not what the world says. In Romans 5, 2 through 4, it says, through whom also we have access by faith in the grace into which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I love that. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Stop. Glory in tribulations. How is that even possible, Pastor Jess? I just lost my son. I don't understand how that's possible. My husband just divorced me and left us. I just lost my home. Listen, if the word says it, it can be done. And you know how you can do it? By adding virtue. Put some excellence back in your life, which was taken from you. Begin with the little things, like we talked about. Get knowledge in you. Put the word in you. It will strengthen you in these hard times. There will be tribulations that come upon you. And persevere through this. And it says, and not only that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. I don't know about you, but the hope of God is my peace every single day. When I hear traumatic news, because we do as pastors, we get the worst of the worst stories. And we carry it with us. And we pray. And we love you, and we are sad with you, and we cry with you, and we laugh with you. But listen, the hope of God is what keeps us. And our knowledge and knowing how awesome he is, that will get you through that tribulation. When my sister Kim lost the baby Seth, he was 8 months old, and he was stillborn. Oh, sorry. Let me fix this. And so many people said to Kim, which, you know, they just don't know. But they said this to her. They said, oh, gosh, are you over it yet? And Kim just said to me, I don't think this is something I will ever get over. This is something I will walk through. And she did. She walked through it beautifully. And let me tell you why. because Kim began to get excellent about her word. She knew what her God, she knew who her God was. She persevered through that time and she held on and she was steady. And now Kim is strong and Kim has made it through that heartache of losing a child. And there are days that we can talk about it and she will still cry. But you know what? She got through that tribulation. She got through that trial because there was hope. And it created a character in her that she's a fighter, man. That girl, she nothing can come against her. She's tough. She scares me. But she held on to the hope of knowing who God was too. And no matter what you're going through, persevere. Hold on. Be steady. Be persistent. Don't give up. Die to your flesh. Know who God is and begin to walk in excellence in those areas of your life. Now listen, we're not done yet. The word of God says in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not lean on your own understanding. Get out of the way and trust him. I love how Heather said that, you know, that we don't trust God because we're always holding on to our money like this. You can't have that French fry God. Listen, you can't have, you know, she was talking about for the people on the tape. My nephews went to McDonald's with my brother-in-law and they did not want to share their French fries with him. And they stopped him from allowing himself to take one of their French fries. Now in my family, my dad eats off all of our plates. Like, Dan knew he was part of the family because Dad reached over when he was dating me and started eating off Dan's plate. And Dan was like, your dad is eating my food. I'm like, so what? This is what we do. This is what we do. We're Italian. We eat everything. So, but so many times, where am I going with this? We're so girls, aren't we? So, French fries. So don't hold on to it. Let it go. Give it to God. Trust the Lord. And then stand steady. Walk in faith. Know who you are. Be steadfast. Be perseverant. You know, the devil's going to look for those that are weak. Because he can knock you off fast. And let me tell you something. There was a time about a couple years ago that I'm not kidding you. The devil was knocking at my door every 30 minutes with something. And he was like knocking, and I kept kicking, and he kept knocking, and I kept punching, and he kept knocking, and I'm like, go to hell, and he kept knocking. And listen, he leaves me alone now. And let me tell you something, when he comes back, I'll knock him out again, okay? He is not allowed near my kids, he's not allowed near my house, he is not allowed in my world. Because I am a daughter of God, and I do not stumble in these unstable times. Now listen, God is not a respecter of persons. You have the same access to the throne. You have the same access to the throne. So stop acting like a victim. Stop being in a poverty mentality, San Bernardino. Get San Bernardino out of you, and get God in San Bernardino. And let's kick some devil butt. Let's be virtuous women with some knowledge so we're not stupid. Because I'm so sick of hearing that women are stupid. We are not stupid. We are smarter than you know. Watch out, because our neck turns those heads. Have some self-control. Stop eating the donut in the morning. Just kidding. And persevere through the trial. Hold on to God's hope. Hold on to the patience of God. Hold on, because he's coming. He's not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. Okay, I have a little analogy for you. If it worked for me, it'll work for you. You remember the Flintstones? Okay, you remember how they would get in the car and he'd get in and he'd move the car? Remember, he was moving the car. It's like those little baby walkers and they move the walker. So I was going through some time just recently and in a faith walk, and the Lord told me, get in the car and start moving. And I saw a picture of me in the car moving my feet. And he goes, now listen, you keep going. Don't stop, don't turn around, and don't look to the side. Keep going. I'm going to eventually jump in with you, and there's going to be some supernatural power, and there's going to be two sets of feet going and getting you where you need to go. And you know what, you guys? That made me laugh so hard that I was like, all right. And I got through it. We got through it. We conquered it. It's a done deal. God came through, and his supernatural power was amazing. But listen, we have to know who our God is. Job knew who his God was. When the trial comes and when these unstable times come, will you know who he is? If not, get into the house of God and we will help you. Now, there's a second part to this message. As you can see, there are other points that God is telling us to become this person. So what I need you to do is come back next week and we'll go over the last three parts. Okay? We're going to listen to this. We're going to cover godliness. Brotherly kindness. Oh, that's a fun one. And love. Okay? So we're going to get a kiss from heaven next week. So if you got something from God, give him a hand. All right, girls, go to your tables, love on each other, and we will see you next week.